from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Paul Hamilton, he's telling you his college nickname. Do you know? We've also got a clip of him in a brawl in his college days. Iowa State University. This comes up. Paul has definitely shared that with us in the past, but that's the school we're talking about there, Iowa State University. Paul, when is the last time you were there?
Last time I was there is when I was put in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, let's hear this. Let's hear more about this.
How many years ago was this?
2010. Maybe, yeah, I think it was October 2010.
All right, I have been to Iowa State University. Well, I drove past Iowa State University more recently than you, because I blew through there at some point while I was on the road with Owen.
Like, but you weren't there unless you stopped.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right.
Yeah, and we did not stop. We just kept going.
I mean, that seems kind of disrespectful, Paul, that he wouldn't even stop at your alma mater. He's go see the Hall of Fame plaque. Is there a bust? What is there?
No, there's no bust or anything like
nothing?
That.
Nothing?
Just... well, they don't even have a team anymore because of some hazing that went on there. So, I don't know what happened to all that now that they don't have a team.
I was just – we didn't stop. It was on the interstate. The exit for it, I was bummed out. I was hoping to be able to, like, see the football stadium or something from the exit. You know what I mean? But it was – at least the interstate we were on was far enough away from the actual campus that was still nothing but cornfields.
Ames, Iowa?
Yeah, right.
Ames, Iowa, yeah. When I was sitting there watching – Tyrese Halliburton hug Caitlin Clark, I thought to myself, when do Cyclones start hugging Hawkeyes?
Oh, wow.
Usually, you know, that doesn't go around real
These things
big,
run deep with Paul.
But yet, here they were, you know, an Indiana Pacer and an Indiana Fever, you know, and to a Cyclone and a Hawkeye.
Times have changed. Well, Paul, you've been around the Bills quite a bit lately, right?
I have, yeah. That's something I usually do because – really, there's not a whole lot of hockey for me to be talking about right now. So I usually hang out, help Sal out during the spring and out in training camp. And now until we get ourselves to around Prospects Camp or the Prospects Challenge, you know, the three games that they have with that, then I start skipping back over to hockey.
Well, especially because you have done this on kind of an annual basis, I wonder what you would say about how – this year feels different. I mean, we've certainly been talking about this
pretty much constantly with the players that have left the Bills. How if at all, is it maybe something noticeable out there, or is it something that players or coaches have talked about?
It seems kind of fresh. You know, and maybe I've experienced this with the Sabres, where all of a sudden you went from a bunch of cliques that, you know, some cared about this, some cared about that, and it didn't work real well, and then they overhauled the team, and they're all doing things together. They're out playing, and then they're out curling together. They're all going to the Lakers game together. They're doing this, that, and the other thing. And I'm starting to see a little bit of that with the Bills. I remember listening to Josh Allen when we were in training camp one afternoon talking about how, you know, it's great. We sit and play cards together, and they have dinner there. And actually, it's a well-thought-out dinner as far as nourishment goes and those type of things. But he says, you know, we're going out to dinner together and doing things together. And it reminded me, you know, the newer Sabres now, what I was hearing from them too. So it just seems like and this is me talking. This is not Josh Allen talking. But I got to believe that Josh Allen just got tired of having to talk about Stephon Diggs and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. I just think he had to. He's human, you know, and there were times where Diggs kind of left Josh Allen to sit there and explain things. And I never thought that was fair. So, you know, maybe he's kind of taken a breath from that too. And again, I want to stress, this is me talking, not Josh Allen. But it just, you know, he seems a little bit different. He just seems a little more relaxed and into things and you know, like, hey, yeah, I enjoy sitting there and playing cards with the guys at training camp and doing things with the guys. And, you know, you didn't necessarily hear that before.
Yeah. Do you have a thought on what the receiving room looks like what these guys look like on the field? Like who has stood out to you, who you have maybe, you know, faith in, so to speak, and who you might be worried about, that kind of thing, from watching these practices you've been at?
Yes, Keon Coleman probably has gone up the ladder and made a phenomenal catch almost every time I've been there, which is quite a bit. I mean, he just gets on the field and on plays that you don't think he's got a shot. First of all, there was one I was watching from the end zone, so Josh Allen was rolling to his right, and he was coming right at me. So I could see what Josh Allen was seeing, and I'm thinking, no, there's nothing there. Not only does he just throw an absolute laser that you just didn't think there was any room at all to get a football through, but Coleman's got to go up and get it. And I mean go up and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. It was good coverage by Benford. And it seems like you see that almost every practice now between the two of them. So, you know, starting with Coleman, I've been thoroughly impressed. Now, he's only has two catches in the preseason, but Josh Allen's only played a quarter. The other quarterbacks, to me, haven't shown me anything at all that would make me think that they can get the ball to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not real concerned that Coleman only has two catches in preseason. One, and he had a drop, which he was talking about the other day, which he didn't like at all and took responsibility for it. He goes, you know, that can't happen type of a thing. And, you know, I'm glad to hear that, you know, it's weighing on him. And that's a good thing too. But, you know, and I always, you know, I think about Mac Hollins, who has some good speed and seems to be able to run pretty good routes as I watch him and gets himself in a spot where Allen can find him and get him the football. And then I look back and they like him a lot, and they've talked about him. The coaches have talked about him. The players have talked about him. And then I looked at him. He only has one season where he's had more than 18 catches.
Yeah.
That was with the Raiders. And he was in the 50s. I think it was 52 mm-hmm. or 57, something like that. But other than that, he only has one season where he has more than 18 catches. So that I think to myself, well, what am I seeing here? Is this a training camp mirage?
Yeah.
Which sometimes you see. You know, I've told you this many times. I don't get after I got I got carried away with one guy. I think I can't even remember. Clarence Coleman, I think the guy's name was, that wide receiver one year. Bledsoe was the quarterback, and he looked like the next coming of Jerry Rice. And here's Howard Simonine sitting up in there going, wow, look at this guy. This guy's phenomenal. And he,
it's one of the first cuts.
He actually made the team, and then Bledsoe never threw him the ball because he never could get off the line of scrimmage, and he couldn't run routes. So I'm careful in what I see there, but – you know, you never know. Maybe Hollins will be a very dependable, I want to say, guy for Josh Allen, that when he's in a jam or has to get out, he's a guy that he can count on.
Paul Hamilton with us. So there is a different, vibe around these guys, and you've given a couple of examples of why with the Diggs departure. We're not to the season yet, so I'm officially calling it not too late. To be sort of still scrutinizing that trade. I'm trying to think of a way to sort of impart your Sabres experience into this. It's kind of a Sabres thing to trade away a good player because he's upset, like that. We've had a few of those with the Sabres, but maybe it'll work.
Maybe it will. I mean, Sam Reinhart left simply because the Sabres never showed any interest in giving him a long-term contract, a guy who scored between 25 and 30 goals as a Sabre. And I understand where he's coming from. Totally understand why he would feel, why should I stay? Everybody else gets long-term contracts, but I didn't. And I did everything that was asked of me, being Sam Reinhart. And he three different GMs, and nobody wanted to do it. So he told them. At least he told them that, all right, it's just one more year, because he was one more year from unrestricted free agency, and he wasn't staying. So then you got to trade him. And you did get a number one out of it, which is Kulik. You did get Levi out of it, and then you look at it and you see what happens. And I always say it doesn't, why can't both teams? Of course, Florida's happy with what they got, because all of a sudden he's a 57-goal scorer instead of a 30-goal scorer. And, he helps them win a Stanley Cup. So they, of course, are happy. And I think at 20 years old, I'm still high on Kulik. I think he has a very big potential to be a good NHL player. And we all know Levi. I don't have to explain it. He could turn into a very good goalie. So you've got to kind of let some of these trades play out. Before, at least on the hockey side of it.
The tough part about the Diggs trade here is that it's a 20.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
25 second-round picks, so there's nothing tangible walking in the door, nothing at all, tangible, in the transaction, simply, you know, 100 plus catches walking out the door, and, you know, got to try to pick up the pieces and figure it out from here. You know, the one thing that I don't know how you're feeling about this, Paul, you're watching these practices. I feel like Samuel is a guy that they don't have another one of. And if he's compromised or just simply unavailable for week one, I feel like that could be a really big loss for them.
Yeah, it could be. And I wonder myself, which Samuel do we have here? Do we have the Carolina Samuel or do we have the Washington Samuel? Because I think they were quite a bit different. I don't think he's been the same since he's left Carolina. That doesn't mean he can't be. That doesn't mean getting back with Brady will help him. That doesn't mean having a quarterback like Josh Allen mm-hmm. will help him get back to where he was. So I've wondered that since they picked him up. You know, thinking, well, if he's the Carolina Samuel, they're in good shape. That's going to be a good thing for them. So injury can send that off the rails, and then what? Because you're absolutely right. You can go right down the line here, and there's just nobody like him at all who can do the things he can do and do the things that I'm sure Brady is planning on him doing. I'm sure Brady has some plays designed that are made for Samuel that take his talents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can junk those plays if he's not available because you're not going to do them with anybody else. So that's part of your playbook that's not going to be available to you if he's not available to you.
Paul, do you have a thought on the decision Sean McDermott has made to not play starters on Saturday?
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I would be a little goofy with all these injuries too. I'd be doing the same thing. I think with preseason football, I think Josh Allen, he'll be just fine playing one quarter. Even if he's a little rusty in the first game for a half, I'd still rather have my quarterback healthy
yeah.
and he's rusty for a half than worrying about trying to get him in, you know. Or I thought it was a great decision in Pittsburgh. You got a field that why do you want to put your starting quarterback out there on it? For what? I mean, yeah, I already get some reps out of it, but you basically got, you know, a flooded field out there. Why risk it? So I thought that was an excellent decision.
To my ears, this year was the first time I ever recall Josh Allen suggesting he didn't need to play. Because I think he pointedly just said, like, I don't feel like I need it, you know. And other years, I feel like it's been entirely, like, you know, whatever coach wants me to do, you know, I'm just one of 11, yada, yada, that kind of thing. Like, this year, I doubt that's why McDermott didn't play. I think McDermott was going to play him last Saturday if it weren't raining all day long. And so, like, that's that. But I felt like it was Allen sort of asserting himself a little. Like, it felt like to me he was saying, I don't really want to play in these
games. And practice isn't the same, but like the day in practice when I was out there last week when he was the only quarterback available and took every single rep. That means every single receiver and tight end got a chance to take reps with Josh Allen, who are on the field, who weren't injured, which doesn't happen. There are a lot of guys who don't get to take reps with Josh yep. Allen, except for in the beginning when you're doing individual stuff. So I think, you know, he got an opportunity to throw some guys that he'll probably never have to throw to, and some other guys who aren't on the first team or don't get out there, and he doesn't get a chance to you know, look over the line of scrimmage and see that. So Josh Allen, I think, in this camp has gotten a lot more work than maybe he has in others, just from the point of, as I said, he – and they did not cut practice short that day. He took every single rep, and he was still raring to go. He was laughing. He goes, yeah. That's what I'm here for, is to throw footballs. I like throwing footballs. He goes, let's go. Let's yeah. keep going. I'm fine. He goes, I'm not sore or anything.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline with us here for just a couple of more minutes. Paul, for August, we can leave the Bills, unless you have anything that we haven't asked you that you're waiting for us to ask you. But we'll move on here. For a week in August, It's a pretty busy week in the NHL. We had the Patrick Laine trade from Columbus to Montreal. Amazingly, Columbus didn't have to retain any of the money on that. It's two more years at over, it's almost $9 million a year. That was stunning. And then you had offer sheets, which, you know, of course, were filed last week, but the deadline was Tuesday, and Edmonton let a couple of, you know, somewhat promising young players leave and go to St. Louis. So, I don't know. Let's start with the offer sheets, because it feels like it's been a right long while since we've had that happen. And, you know, maybe it's a sign of that changing in the league.
I wish.
Yeah.
I wish. But unfortunately, I'm very pessimistic that it's a sign of anything changing, because every time we get an offer sheet, that you know, I'm always, oh, good, there's an offer sheet. And then it's like, yeah, okay. 7 years later.
Oh. Right.
Oh, we have another one. 7 years later.
Maybe it's about to change. Said radio's, you know, the bulldog again.
Right. Yeah. And I do not understand the thinking between GMs. Oh, I don't want this guy mad at me. Who cares? I don't understand the thinking. Well, I don't want a GM mad at me, so I'm not going to offer sheet. It's something. You're not doing anything illegal. It is legal by the rules of the National Hockey League that you can do offer sheets. So why do general managers get upset with other teams and, well, we're going to blackball this guy? And it's like, stop it. Just it is something available to you, and if you all would execute it and use it to your advantage, then you wouldn't worry about getting everybody mad. So that's why I'm just pessimistic about it. That, okay, the Blues did it. They got away with it. Kokikiemi, I think, was the last one, Carolina.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit ago. And I just think, all right, yeah, the Blues did it, and now the Oilers are mad at them because they drained their prospect pool. You know, had the Oilers, and well, why would the Oilers think, you know, the Oilers probably wouldn't have signed Jeff Skinner if they had any inkling at all that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the, you know, why would they think somebody would do offer sheets?
Right.
I had somebody on Twitter asking me, well, why, you know, criticizing Kevin Adams. He goes, well, why didn't you wait on McLeod? I say, no, if you want to criticize Kevin Adams for other things, fine, have at it. That's your business. But do you really think Kevin Adams should be sitting in his office going, well, somebody's going to offer sheet a couple of Edmonton's players, so let's just wait on this trade because we can get, you know, we can do better on it. Come on. I mean, of course he's not thinking that. Why should he be?
Right. Moving on, Paul, real quick. Laine, did you have any interest in him as a Sabre?
I didn't. And I hope as a human being to a human being that, you know, he has – you know, he has gone to, you know, to get his mental health healthy again, mm-hmm. to, I guess, put it that way. I hope it has worked for him. I hope he becomes the hockey player that he was supposed to be when he was drafted. But he just, even, you know, he was always a guy that needs a kick in the pants all the time and doesn't hustle all the time, has an elite shot,
Yeah.
And Ken, in my mind, has the talent to be an elite goal scorer, but he's just never had the attitude, I think, to be able to do it. Now, maybe all of this will help him get that attitude to get there, but as a general manager, where if I were the general manager of the Sabres, where the Sabres are right now, it's not a project that I would have wanted to take on.
Yep.
Someone who never needs a kick in the pants or to be told to hustle, Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, nice to hear your voice.
Good to talk to you guys again. I thought I was coming on to talk about running backs and fantasy football, but I guess Bulldog didn't want to.
We got to go, Paul. Paul Hamilton's reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Don't be afraid of Devin Achane, I say.
Bye, Paul.
To the moon.
Thank you, Paul.
Bye, Paul. Speaking of picks, which we weren't.
No.
Sponsored. Did you see that?
I think you might have read that wrong. That there's been the fresh picks has been that's not the show of the Bulldogs picks. That email said something about the fresh picks on Football Friday, which that's a different thing.
Can't we combine them?
I don't know.
Can't we make our picks fresher? People have been asking.
I don't know.
Can't we make the picks fresher?
Yeah.
and then make this work for everyone.
But that's had a sponsor that you mostly executed that in previous years yourself. It was like your fantasy,
yes,
your fresh fantasy picks of the week.
That okay, thing. That's this.
445-ish, okay, or something like that. Yeah.
We could move that, I think.
I'm just saying, it's I thought the same thing you did when I first saw that. I thought, it's not our picks. No.
Not it's, the it's picks you're looking
it's
for.
Different picks, right?
These are not the picks you're looking for.
There it is.
Well, I'm glad you knew that.
Yeah.
Because I was saving this.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's an opportunity for someone else to step up and sponsor the other picks.
The longest continuously running unsponsored radio segment in radio history is what our picks are.
2 weeks from Friday, we're making picks.
Giddy up.
Right? That is right, isn't it? 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yep.
September 6th, that would be.
Yeah, 2 weeks from Friday.
I believe.
Right. Yep.
I'm going to have to start preparing tonight.
Really?
Joe Ostrowski tomorrow, he will maybe have some ideas. Week one, Bills -6.5 at home against Arizona. Speaking of the Bills, Sal Capaccio joined us earlier to go over today's practice and give some big picture takes. We'll have that for you next here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.